This is an MUT Radio podcast.
For social, environmental and epistemic well-being. Second, Professor Mahazan Mutalib from University Sans Islam Malaysia, who is the coordinator of the Knowledge for Change Asia Training Hub, whose leadership spans community sustainability, microfinance, indigenous knowledge, governance, and values-driven leadership. Third, Professor Irma Alicia Flores from University of Los Andes, Colombia. Professor Flores is the coordinator of the Latin America Regional Training Center, advancing teacher development, participatory research, and community-driven education transformation. These three leaders represent what is best about global engaged scholarly collaboration, which is local knowledge, grounded practices, and regional leadership shaping global changes as part of an innovative initiative from the UNESCO Chair for Community-Based Research and Social Responsibility in Higher Education. The UNESCO Chair for CBR and SR is a global catalyst that champions an essential idea. Knowledge is most powerful when universities create it with communities, not for them. The work of the Community-Based Research and Social Responsibility Chair strengthens socially responsive research, inclusive knowledge production, university-community partnerships, and ethical reciprocal engagement. The UNESCO Chair's mission aligns closely with the conference call to train the next generation of scholars and practitioners for community-based participatory research to bridge the knowledge gap, ensuring that universities respond to societal challenges with integrity, humility, and shared purpose in community university research partnerships. The Knowledge for Change Consortium places this mission into practice through its regional training hubs, like those led by our speakers today. These hubs exist for one powerful reason: to build local capacity for community-based research in ways that honor local cultures, languages, challenges, and knowledge systems. Instead of a single global model, the K4C initiative invested in regional training leadership, acknowledging that Africa knows its context best. Asia knows its communities best. Latin America knows its histories and the futures best. The hubs become centers of mentorship, skill building, and reciprocal learning, creating scholars who can conduct research with communities ethically, inclusively, and contextually. Our keynote, Rethinking Rigor and Relevance, the Institutional Strategies for Meaningful Scholarship of Engagement, sits at the center of the vision of the Knowledge for Change hubs. It challenges us to rethink what counts as rigorous knowledge, what universities reward and recognize, how research becomes meaningful, how institutions redesign themselves to serve society. And it reminds us that the future of higher education depends on our ability to root scholarship in humanity, equity, and collaboration. Conference attendees, please join me in welcoming Professor Monk, Mutalib, and Flores as they guide us through the scholarship of engagement that can redefine the role of universities worldwide. Thank you. Over to you, Professor Monk.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you to everyone. Thank you for inviting us. I've been in and out of the conference over, well, yesterday I had trouble connecting, but today I was able to get a couple of presentations at least, and it was really inspiring. Karen, you've done a very lovely introduction here, and it will enable us to fast forward through a couple of our slides. I want to just say, it's really an honor to be here and be presenting here and representing the UNESCO Chair in Community-Based Participatory Research and our three regional training centers. I hope that you can see my screen as I'm presenting. Could I just double check? I know online people can see it, but in the room?
Yes, we can.
Yes, okay, you. Great. Okay, yes. Perfect. Wonderful. Thank you very much. I'd like to also thank my co-presenters and recognize that Irma has woken up very early. It's probably still dark where she is in Colombia. And Mahazan is very late. It's definitely dark where he is. I think he would normally be in bed at this time. Probably both of them would normally be in bed at this time. So I'd just like to give a special appreciation to them. For me, it's the middle of the afternoon, 3 p.m. Here in Uganda. So it's as usual when we have our meetings, we meet quite often, actually, the three of us. I'm always the one in the middle, which is very nice for me. But I just like to appreciate my colleagues for this time again. Today, we want to talk a little bit about the Knowledge for Change. The Knowledge for Change Global Consortium and as a movement for social responsibility in higher education. And the agenda will be that we'll briefly, now very quickly, I think, go through a couple of slides about the Knowledge for Change Network and the community the movement of the approach of community-based participatory research that we feel that we follow, I guess. And try to promote. And then we want to share a little bit about each of our hubs. So we have regional training centers and we have hubs. And at the hubs is where really we're doing a lot of the local contextual work of integrating our university with our community in different ways. We're having an impact. And we hope in sharing our stories, some examples of some of the things that we've been doing over the past around 8 years, I think, at least for Gulu. We can then show some what impact this type of institutional partnership can have. So I'll just continue. Okay. So the Knowledge for Change Consortium is a global consortium. It's an initiative, as Karen mentioned earlier, of the UNESCO Chair in Community-Based Participatory Research and Social Responsibility in Higher Education. And the co-chairs of this UNESCO Chair, they're the first co-chairs of UNESCO Chairs, by the way. They had to really fight to even become co-chairs, are Bud Hall from the University of Victoria in Canada and Rajesh Tandon from Participatory Research in Asia. And they've been both working together for 30 years and have been working in this field as activists for 50 plus, I believe. At the beginning foundations of participatory, community-based participatory research. So you can see Rajesh Tandon here on the left. On the left here, this is my vice chancellor and director of our center, and this is Professor Catherine Odoro Hoppers, which some of you might know, who is, in fact, my neighbor here, and also at Gulu University, and one of our an important advisor for our hub and for our movement. And this is now Bud Hall, second from the right, and this is a fellow from the European Union, and I'm not sure of his name, in fact. But we were presenting at the World Higher Education Conference in 2022, we have this photo here not only to show them they're lovely people, they look great, nice smiles, but also It's representative of some of the work that we do as a consortium, which is try to inform and inform policy, especially in higher education. Particularly, what the movement is about is integrating different types of knowledge into universities and universities learning to work more closely with community over longer periods of time in equitable community university partnerships. So the way that the consortium works is through an establishment of hubs. At present, in fact, this map is a little bit older, so if you do the math, you'll see the numbers are different. I think it's from last year. We have 27 hubs in 18 countries now, and most of them are located in the global south, and that's purposeful. To become a hub, it requires a partnership between a university and a community organization. So when there's a formal partnership that's established, then this hub will send people to do a mentorship training program. And we have three regional training centers that conduct the mentorship training program in community-based participatory research. One of the training centers is located at Gulu University, and this is for the African region. One of them is located in Colombia, where Irma is leading for the Latin America region. And one of them is located with Mahazan in Malaysia for the Asian region. And in fact, I believe Irma has conducted some trainings with some folks from Spain have come and participated in the Latin American program. And in Africa, we have some people from the U.S. that have applied to join. And they will be joining our next cohort, which begins in March. So it's driven from the Global South, as you can see, this movement. So the mentorship training program requires a formal partnership between a community organization and university. It is for both community members and university members, and a formal requirement for us to participate in the training is that a hub will send both community partners and university partners to participate in this research training program. It's oriented in training first in community based participatory research. It's of course oriented towards people that are already interested in engaged scholarship. It also involves learning how to facilitate, learning how to teach community based participatory research, and connected to that is developing contextual curricula for local hubs. So as part of the training program, it's a 21-week program, which is project-based, and it has a 10-day residency, in-person residency that we go through. And on the left here is a picture of the in-person residency that I participated in together with Mahazan is there as well, I believe, in Arusha, Tanzania in 2018. A lovely experience. So we also support, as we're supporting the development of training community-based participatory research and developing local curriculum, we play a role in supporting the development of hubs. And each hub has a different flavor, as you'll see, between even the three hubs that we will be presenting about today. They're different because they're based in different contexts, but there's always some similarities that come through. And the training in community-based participatory research is designed to develop multilingual and multimodal and accessible knowledge resources. So as a component of the project, everybody will complete a case study, and we ask that they complete it in a local language. And we try to integrate local languages as much as we can into the program. When I say languages, I mean not only the spoken language, but we do a lot of arts-based research and integrating dance, music, painting, film, photography, other things that are often not used in traditional research in the university. And then we're there to support a network of hubs as the hubs continue to do their work. So community-based participatory research has some of the following key features that we think are important. I mean, there's quite a few of them, but we're trying to now synthesize them a little bit. What are the core elements of, for us, of community-based participatory research? So first, it's about long-term collaborative relationships for local development between academic partners at a university and between community partners. And in this space of developing relationships, it of course requires recognizing and valuing each other's knowledges. And we've seen in our trainings and just in this practice, we really push for how can universities integrate community-based knowledges and different knowledge systems, different ways of thinking about the world and being in the world to guide more comprehensive research, both in long term, so through setting research agendas together and going for grants together and setting research questions together and conducting the research and doing the advocacy or the analysis and all of these things together collaboratively with the community partners, and then in individual research grants as well, or research projects that are there to benefit the community. As is defined by the community itself. And this means also seeing the university as part of the community, not separate from it. And that's where the social responsibility comes in. And then another core point is that research and research agendas are oriented to in action for making more equitable communities. So they're usually very tangible results that are visible, and part of doing the research is solving a problem as well. So there's a lot of, it's based in principles of radical adult education in that way. And just briefly on the left, the picture on the left is in Gulu. This is on Gulu University campus, and it's part of our integration of community-based participatory research. We bring elders together regularly around what is called the Wang'o, which is the traditional place of learning in the Acholi region, which is where we are. And elders come together with university people, and we have discussions around different things. And part of our cohort training was in fact done, a good portion of it, the learning was done around this fire, this same site. So now I would like to turn it over to Irma to take us through a little bit about the Columbia Hub and the story of some of the stories from her hub. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thank you to the organizers. I am very pleased to be here with you and to share with you our experience about this important movement. Our IAPAS Hub in Colombia is a space for the conference, dialogue, and exchange of knowledge among different groups, communities, and institutions at the local and regional level around participatory action research and other related transformative approaches. Is integrated by two community partners and two universities. We have eight mentors that work together to do many activities around the training of other or the new generation of participatory action researchers. Next, please. Well, the Colombian Hub activities are guided by the CDG 16, that promotes peaceful and even societies for sustainable development, provide access to justice for all, and build effective, accountable, and even institutions at all levels. Next, please. That's why our hub, the name of our hub is EAPAS. That means action, participatory action research for peace. I think it's important to tell you that Colombia is a country that has experienced armed conflict for over 60 years. Colombia is located in South America. Our hub was created in 2018 after I trained as a mentor for the K4C consortium, positioning the hub at the University of the Andes hasn't been easy, as the university is more concerned with rankings and other kind of things. However, the work we've been doing for the past 6 years has finally found a place and recognition in our university and in other institutions. It's also true that an important movement has begun in the country through the Ministry of Science, promoting the social appropriation of knowledge. That means that this movement aims to strengthen collaboration between universities and communities and recognize diverse forms of knowledge. This has helped the hub gain a significant foothold at the university. So far, we have several mentor training experiences. For example, with the University of Ibagué, we developed a training program for 60 university professors to learn about the CBPR approach and strengthen their existing program called Peace and Region. In this program, undergraduate students in their final semesters from all disciplines participate in community research. This is a very important experience because it has allowed us to reach many communities in the region. Well, here I want to present some important points that had to do with our hub. We have working agreement between academy and community members. That agreements are very important because we can work together and have many experiences that have to do with CBPR. We have also a protocol for handling difficult and conflicts, because we are working around peace and we are trying to have agreements between the members of the hub that work around this important issue. Also, we are working on this training with many communities and different universities. And also, we are working on process for reflection, evaluation, and learning around these programs that we are working on. Next, please. Next slide, please. Well, in this slide, we present some of the projects that we are working on, and in that projects we try to engaging in dialogue with the community. We are promoting collaborative decisions about who will take responsibility for what in that project, and everyone involved to get to know each other, discuss their hopes and fears for the research. And that kind of principles are what guide our work with the communities. Next slide, please. Oh, well, that's the important topics that I want to share with you about the Hub Colombia. Now we are going to talk about the Misan Hub. Oh, I think that, yes.
Yeah. All right. Can you hear me? My voice is clear.
Your voice is clear. Thank you.
All right. Thank you to the organizer, MUT, University of Technology, South Africa. Greetings to all. In Malaysia, we call Salam Sejahtera. It's kind like of our national greeting. Or in Islam, we call Assalamu Alaikum. Peace to all of you. Thank you very much. And thanks, David, for that kind of very clear presentation on the background of what we are doing together at the global level under the guide of the UNESCO chair in community-based research and social responsibility in higher education. This is a unique initiative where it gives kind of opportunities for all, not just from academia, but it opened up huge big door for community organizations, NGOs, civil societies, independent researchers, research institutes to basically come and contribute to the body of knowledge and challenge the way of how we basically produce knowledge that normally being done conventionally at the university. So based on our experience by working with the community, openly work with the community, you know, be humble at the very beginning stage, like what David said, even in the research design process or up to the teaching level, we found that there are too many new knowledge that we can basically store and gather by talking, by engaging with the people around us. Where in this part, I believe that IRMA has been done tremendously well at the Latin America, where if you follow IRMA's work in Latin language, you can see that we need at least what I can learn from Latin America, or even with David at Gulu, that there are so many creative approaches in order to attract community members to participate. In the nutshell, maybe I can summarize before I come to some introduction about what we are doing in Asia, that we challenge our proposal, our idea is that we need to challenge the process of how we do research at the very beginning, where when the process is very complicated and just maybe I can say that a little bit discriminatory in nature, where people who are outside academia cannot follow the process, then we are basically restrict the how we can basically get new knowledge from whatever possible resources, where we do understand that this in general, in long term, can cause discrimination in terms of knowledge, where this is one of the major idea of knowledge for change, where it can bridge the gap of community and academia, and we can promote knowledge democracy, where this point, maybe I can put it in my last presentation as a conclusion. Before I, maybe I can share somehow about what we are doing. My name is Mahazan. You can call me. I'm from Malaysia, a very small country at the Southeast Asia, neighboring to Singapore, Thailand, as well as Indonesia. Hopefully, some of you have been visited us, and please come and visit us. It's very nice country, hot and humid as well, sweating. Eh? So we have a research center called the Misan Research Center that we established in 2016 before we being, you know, guide and introduced to Professor Budd Hall and Dr. Radesh Tandon at the UNESCO chair. We are blessed to know them in 2018, as what Dr. David presented just now. Our focus is to basically come up with the idea of balanced development study from multiple, from multidisciplinary approaches. We have members from multiple, from different faculties. I'm from the Faculty of Leadership Management. My study is on leadership and community leadership. We have members from medical school. We have members from the architecture and many other disciplines. Everybody works on one target, which is to come up with whatever with a potential, with a possible mechanisms or knowledge in to promote balanced development for Malaysia. That's at the very beginning until on 2018 that we joined the UNESCO Chair Project under the mentorship program at Uganda. And even before that, in 2017, I went to Jinja, Uganda to meet Dr. Bud Hall. And we found from there, I know that I'm basically joining the right consortium because the approach is very much interactive and it can invite many people to basically participate in knowledge production. That is the strength of K4C that everybody should highlight or should try to maybe explore. Then our focus is to study the village. We have three or four early research projects focusing on the urban village, and our research completed our first research on the last village, the last Malay village of capital city Kuala Lumpur called the New Malay Village, or in Malay Kampung Baru. We produce a documentary. It is a documentary co-produced by us and also some of the villagers. And we have attracted some researchers from Europe, for example, from the University of Utrecht, to come and visit us this year in order to further study about this culture and how we can learn between each other. And
Mahazan, sorry to interrupt. I'm just being told that in the chat that I think because we started late, we have to now finish to give some space for some questions. I don't know if you can briefly take 30 seconds and conclude for us our whole presentation. Right. Sorry, everybody. We thought we had a little bit more time. In fact, we were planning now. We had many more lovely stories, but we'll have to do it another time.
Yeah. Okay, maybe I can come up with the conclusion a bit that our work basically have been presented. The UNESCO chair has come up with the idea of this global regional training center that have been launched at the University of Michigan. At the Michigan State University at the Engage Scholarship Consortium. Maybe you can browse it. In a nutshell, maybe at the end, maybe as a conclusion, the knowledge for change approach, as what have been presented by David from very beginning and been given with some examples by Irma, we have at least five basic ideas that maybe I can open it up for everyone to think and ask us questions if you want it. That the focus is more on to promote accountability and social responsibility to community. That's why the approach is more creative and basically open to the people, to the layman, to basically join the research process, not just as subject. Number two is to promote knowledge, democracy, and equitable open access. We basically against the idea of capitalizing knowledge for the purpose of economics so much. So we want it to be free and basically everybody can basically contribute and gain social benefits out of it. So the focus is on institutional relationships, as what been presented by David. That's why the core factor is to have like a hub, which is jointly established by community organization as well as university members. And we do community-based participatory research training programs under the RTC as well as under this the regional training center. And basically the last point, maybe maybe you can allow me to share a bit the last point, that the ethics is very much very important for us where we do not want to basically use community as subjects, but they are basically become co-producers of knowledge. So you can go to the last slide. Maybe you can share. We have three new recent publications where you can browse in 2025, 2024, and 2021 as examples of our work in teaching community-based participatory research, 2025, whereas publication in 2024 and 2021 under Brill, that's some collections of our case studies on community-based research. That's all from me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, David, Irma, and Mazan. So we can actually say in the newsletter that we are hubbing together and you are joining us here at the Conference of Scholarship of Engagement at the Mangosuthu University of Technology in South Africa in the beautiful city of Durban next to the sea. So thank you very much for the presentation. We are opening now to the floor for engagement with the conference attendees. If they can just put up the hand and we will have the roaming mic. It seems to me you have done a very informative session. It's usually there we have a hand, Prof. Busi.
Good afternoon, Prof. It's Busi this end. I'm not sure that you can see me. And also to the two co-presenters. I'm very much grateful for your participation during your ungodly hours, especially the other two colleagues. So we really appreciate your commitment and your passion. Yes. The question that I have is from our second presenter from Colombia, the hub that is looking into the SDG 16. I found it very, very interesting because it's an SDG that is not usually popular in higher education institutions. We always focus on other SDGs, but this one, how has it impacted the communities in terms of peace and so on? Just to expand on that, with the permission of the facilitator, yesterday we had a very engaging talk with the VC of one of our local universities in South Africa. And the challenge that we were really battling with was the banning of the university's structures and also the fact that as communities, we do not take ownership of what we have, of our assets. And because of other reasons, but that is how our communities vent their dissatisfaction and they resort into these violent things that I think you can also witness that on TV. So this hub in Colombia, if perhaps our presenter could share with the audience how it has really impacted peace in the area, so that we can also learn from you as institutions in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you, Irma.
Yes, thank you. Well, this is very important for us, this working with this CDG, due to the situation of violence in our country. And it is necessary to build peace in our country. As I mentioned, one of the universities that is part of our hub is working with a program that calls Peace and Region, and the professors trained in CBPR, we work with students and communities to build peace. I think it's very difficult to say in this moment which is the impact of this kind of work. But I am very convinced that if we still working and we do this kind of engagement between universities and communities, we will have a great impact in, I don't know, a few years. But we have to work hard with universities, because sometimes universities don't believe that things can change with this kind of projects and proposals. Then we have to be very, very, very persuasive and very, I don't know, the universities to believe in this and work with us. And that's what I can say about that.
Thank you, Irma. There's one time for one more comment or question. I might just say there are a few of us in the room that is currently busy with the mentor training program. And so maybe one of them would like to have a comment or a question. If there is something that you would like to have shared in conclusion, I'm handing over to the three keynote speakers for conclusion. Thank you.
Please, David.
Mazan, it seems to me your mic is on, so you will do the conclusion and the end of the presentation. Thank you.
No, I prefer David to do it. No, he's closer to South Africa. But I can do it. Up to you. All right. Thank you very much. The conclusion is simple, that please join and welcome. I welcome everyone to join the Global Consortium of Knowledge for Change. Our main methodology is community-based participatory research. We are working with two leading scholars of CBPR, Professor Bud Hall and also Dr. Rajesh Tandon. All of us are basically going to meet, inshallah, next week at India to further and see how can we basically expand our network globally. So the focus is basically to promote knowledge democracy, to fight again, business of higher education, where we do knowledge basically just like contribute it from the university only, without having community to help us to co-produce the knowledge. So we do this only by producing and training the next generation of CBPR and community-based researchers from wherever that, which can come from many places all around the globe. So the connection networking is very important for all of us. So we believe that we can also learn from you, and we look forward that we can have more researchers from South Africa to join the network and contribute to community development. Thank you very much. That's for me.
Thank you very much. That ends the session of our keynote speakers. We greet you from South Africa in the spirit of community-based participatory research. Thank you. I just have an announcement to make. The VC requested that, if it is possible, that you can send your presentations, also our keynote speakers, but then also the participants who are presenting at the conference, and that it can be sent to mandleni@mut.ac.za. mandleni@mut.ac.za. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Are we still alive? How did you enjoy the presentation? It was amazing. This is a Knowledge for Change hub, because we have realized that the challenges in the global north are not similar to our challenges in the global south. So we are strengthening now partnerships, holding hands in the south before we can rush and link with the north because of those differences. But there's also a lot of learning when it comes to the global north. I don't want to differ with that. However, when it comes to addressing pressing issues, the global south, there's a lot of commonalities. So the Knowledge for Change, I like to abbreviate it as K4C, is really a movement that has been initiated by UNESCO, and it has been very instrumental in making sure that when we engage with our communities, we do it through community-based participatory research, CPPR. And so I'm very grateful to the speakers, and I'm also very grateful and also to Dr. Fenter Karen from University of Free State, who has been with us facilitating the session. And I'm also really want to converse that let's be part of this movement as the universities in South Africa. I am privileged to be part of this as well. I've been roped in. I'm getting training on mentorship together with my colleagues from the directorate. It's myself.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.